Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Every week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages, and our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, and Nepali are available to you all the time and anytime on the website media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands of people are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing, and you can join them and be blessed too. When I was in the early years of my high school, one of the classes we boys had to take was woodshop. Now, our teacher was a bit eccentric, but I did learn some fundamentals of woodworking in that class. The best part of that class was the privilege of actually using basic hand tools to build simple projects. And because I had a positive experience in that class, I took woodshop as an elective in a later year of high school. After that, as they say, I was hooked, and I spent many years enjoying working in the woodworking industry. To this day, I still enjoy it as a hobby. One of my experiences was working with custom cabinetry. In the shop where I worked was an older man. He was an experienced cabinet maker, and he taught me most of the things that I eventually learned about the trade. I didn't have any kind of formal apprenticeship, but I enjoyed that role with him, and we got along very well with each other. Something that always amazed me about him was his ability to fix other people's mistakes. We worked in a shop with about a dozen employees, and inevitably, somewhere in the process from building the cabinets to shipping them out the door, either mistakes were made or a product was damaged. And when that happened, guess where they were brought to be fixed? To this older man I worked with. Very seldom was a piece beyond his ability to repair. As long as I live, I'll be grateful for the opportunity I had to work with him and to learn from him. You know, today we hear a lot about mentoring as though it were something new. It's really not. It's just another word for being an apprentice. Or there's an even older term, a disciple. Whenever I hear that word, disciple, I think of the 12, the disciples of Jesus. As we've worked our way through Luke's gospel, we have seen how the 12 accompanied Jesus. They listened to his teaching. They watched how he responded to the needs of the people he met. They saw him cleanse the lepers, restore sight to the blind, heal the lame, and they even saw him raise the dead to life. They heard his teaching, which was so different from the other rabbis of the day. And then they saw him live out what he taught. In all of this, they were learning what it meant to be his followers. But you know, in every relationship like theirs, the time comes when the disciple or the apprentice needs to have some hands-on experience. And that's what we see in the opening verses of Luke chapter 9. Jesus commissions his disciples and sends them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. They were going to take what they had learned and begin to put it into practice. Today, every person who repents of their sin and accepts by faith the sacrifice of Christ as the only acceptable payment for their sin is forgiven, and they become a disciple of Christ. As his disciples, you and I are called to proclaim the gospel. You know, much of what is recorded for us in the Gospels is historical. It's part of the narrative that shows how Jesus began to establish his kingdom here on this earth. Not everything that Jesus and the 12 did are we commanded to do today. However, we can learn many things by observing the underlying principles of the historical narrative. Our text for today illustrates this truth. In Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, we see Jesus giving specific instructions about how the disciples were to carry out the assignment he was giving them. Jesus probably wouldn't give you and me the exact same specifics today that he did to his disciples back then. But there are still important principles we can learn as we study this text. So to begin, let me read for you Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. I've titled our study, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet as a testimony against them." So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. In this text, we note several important principles that should be understood by all who are commissioned to proclaim the gospel. And by the way, that's every believer. The first principle is delegated authority. Notice what happened here in our text. Jesus called the 12 together for a meeting. He let them know that he was going to send them out as his ambassadors, his apostles, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You see that in verse 2. But they weren't going to do it on their own strength. They couldn't. Jesus bestowed on them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He gave them something they didn't have on their own. I noticed in this text that these two ideas of authority and power are repeated several times. I found them in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 6. Now, think with me for a few moments about the meaning of these words, power and authority. The text says Jesus gave the disciples power. This is from the Greek word dunamis. That is, he gave the disciples the ability or the force or the strength to cast out demons and to heal the sick. This same Greek word is used 120 times in the New Testament, and 77 of those times it is translated into the English word power. Another 11 times it's translated as mighty work. It's the root of the English word dynamite. It's explosive power. And then verse 1 also says that he gave them authority. This is from the Greek word exousia. By giving them authority, Jesus was giving them the right to act in his name. He was giving them jurisdiction over the forces of evil and disease. This same word, exousia, is used in John chapter 1, verse 12, where John states, "But as many as received Jesus, to them he gave power or authority, exousia, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Numerous other translations substitute the word right for authority. Those who receive Jesus have the legal right to become the sons of God. In these first two verses, we see clearly the principle of delegated authority in those commissioned to proclaim the gospel. Jesus gave to the 12 and to you and me both the might and the right to carry out our commission. This principle still applies to every disciple of Jesus today. We have a delegated authority that comes to us by virtue of our relationship with Jesus. The power and the authority to proclaim the gospel is not inherent in us. We don't have it in ourselves. It's something we have received. It's something we have been given. And you and I must never forget that. As his disciples, we're called to proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, don't let the word preach scare you off or make you think that you are exempt from the command. The Greek word means to herald, to proclaim, or to publish something. We can all do that in one way or another. God has given me the tool of radio to use in proclamation. He's most likely given you different tools. But we all work together toward the same goal. And that goal is to proclaim Christ, to make him known. Then what about having authority over demons? Is that for us today? Well, I believe it is. The scripture tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. He actively opposes God's plan, and he accuses us before the Father. But you and I, through the power of the name of Jesus and the power of his blood shed on the cross, have access to a power that's greater than any demonic force. One of the powerful ways we can help fulfill this commission to proclaim the gospel is to access the power of prayer. The Apostle Paul, speaking about the unsaved in 2 Corinthians 4:4, says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So you and I can use the delegated authority we have to ask the Father, in the name of Jesus and through the power of his blood, to bind the satanic forces and to open the eyes of the unsaved. John says we can confidently overcome these antichrist spirits because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Numerous times in my work here at Heralds of Hope, I've had a sense of demonic opposition. Calling on the name of Jesus and the power of the blood and asking him to rebuke those spirits led to visible results and increased faith. And so I encourage you to use the delegated authority God has given to you in Jesus. You know, I believe that as time passes, we're going to see more overt evidence of demonic influence. The preoccupation in our world with immorality and violence gives plenty of evidence that Satan is having his way in the lives of many people. Unfortunately, there are many who profess to follow Jesus today, and they are opening themselves up to the power of demonic spirits. The music they listen to, the movies they watch, the video games they play, their entertainment, all of those things make them more vulnerable to the influence of evil. So we need to understand our authority in Christ and how we can deal with these issues. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just request it by its title, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this entire teaching, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this program, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.